Well, I don't know about you, but I have delighted in Psalm 27 this week. I did not know this. I didn't know that I knew this psalm. This had so many of my favorite verses or verses I've heard a lot and I've enjoyed over the years and did not know where they were. I just heard them in isolation. It's really great to hear them in context. So for our devotional this morning, I thought I would just highlight one of the verses and help us own it, help my heart own this verse to where now for the rest of our life, hopefully, it'll mean a little bit more as we just meditate on it. It's the one from yesterday, the Psalm 27:11. I've loved this verse over the years. Everybody want to look over there or pop open your Bible? Psalm 27:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. So this is just one of my favorite prayers to pray, and I guess I just heard it growing up. And this thought of a plain path is a really powerful thought. And I don't know about you, but one of my most frequent prayers is praying for wisdom. Lord, help me to see the world the way it really is and not the way it seems to be at first blush. I want to know the way it really is so I can make the right choice and not lead to despair. So speaking of which, this verse conjured up a story. How many of you have read Pilgrim's Progress over the years? All right. Wonderful book, right? Allegory written by one of our Baptist forefathers many years ago, where it went through and just pulled verse after verse and story after story from the Bible and pulled it into a narrative of Christian, a young man who follows the Lord, and he's headed toward the celestial city. And as you'll see in this particular story that he pulls from, probably somewhat from this verse, he tells a story that I think is helpful to illustrate for us. So Christian is walking along with Hope, his partner, as they're walking through, and they come to this river. They're tired, their feet are sore, they're weary, and they drink out of this river of life. And there's trees, and it's lush, and they get this rest. So for several days, he and his partner, as they're walking this long journey that's taking months and months of time, they get refreshed, and they rest. And then they start walking on the path to the celestial city. And the path runs along the river, and it's very pleasant. It's very nice. They're walking on the grass. But then it starts to go uphill, and it starts to go on. It's kind of rocky terrain. And their feet start getting weary and start getting tired. And the days go on, and they're getting tired. This is a rough, rocky road to lead the path that they're supposed to be on. And then they notice, kind of running alongside them, down a little bit is a path that's running parallel. And it's a lot softer. There's some grass there, and it's a parallel path. And so they notice there's a turnstile, but if all they had to do is just kind of go over the fence, and these paths, they run the same way, and it seems like a no-brainer. They said, let's try this out. Let's try out the easier path. Our feet need the break. So they start walking on this path, and it's parallel, and it seems like everything's going well. They even encounter another traveler, his cleverly named Mr. Vainglory. And he's on this path, and he assures them, oh, yes, this is the right path. And they're saying, oh, we're so glad to hear this, because we weren't exactly sure. It looked like it was the right path, and it certainly is a lot easier than the one we were following. And it starts to get a little dim and starts to get a little dark, and so Vainglory's like, hey, follow me. I've got this. You know, we're on the right path. And so they just put their trust in Vainglory, and they start following, and it gets dark, and he's kind of just beyond their view, and they hear this crash and a scream. And they kind of rush ahead a little bit, and there was a pit. Old Vainglory had fallen and died in a pit that was dug for him by the Prince of the Air or something, you know, some cleverly named eponym for Satan. So Vainglory's dead, and they realize they have made a terrible mistake. It's dark. They have no idea where they are, and they do not know where this path is. So they turn back. They say, okay, we just need to retrace our steps back. And they go, and they can't find their way back. And they are terribly lost in this woods, and then, as you know, they finally fall asleep in the dark, and they're lost in the woods, and they get captured by a giant who throws them in his castle of despair, and he beats them every day, and finally they get out after they trust in the promises of the Lord, and they are restored back to the path. But so let's think through that for a minute, and in view of our verse today, he says, teach me thy way, O Lord. So that's where we're at, right? We're saying, Lord, I'm on the path. I'm trying to make decisions in life. I'm in school, or I'm in my first job. I'm trying to decide if this is the right job for me. Whatever, wherever we are in life right now, What's the right perspective, Lord? Teach me thy way. I need to know your way, Lord, because I can't see the future, right? I don't know 10 years down the road if this will have been the right path or not. Do you follow what I'm saying? Like, maybe it's the right path, maybe it's not. I won't know for 10 years, and by then it's too late, and I try to turn back, and I sure don't want to be following vainglory. So that's our prayer, right? This is a prayer. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. What do you think he means by plain path in this? I don't want it to be hard to know, right? Just show me. Show me your way, Lord. We've already established, I want your way. I want to follow you. I want to seek your face. So this is us as we come to this point in the week and say, Lord, I want to seek your face. Please help me. Please shine some light on this path. Make it plain. I'll follow it, Lord. I'll follow the rocks. I'll make hard choices. You know what hard choice you may be having to face right now, but I'll make that hard choice, Lord. If that's what I need to do, just please show me. Show me what I need to do. So that's, I love that concept of the plain path. Let's think a little bit about how would we get this knowledge, right? So that's a pretty good place to start. It's just to ask, right? So asking the Lord, lead me in a plain path. I think that's probably the most important thing right there, because the Lord will show us. He has a lot of ways to show us which way is the right way. Can you think with me, what would be some of the ways God uses to show us his will, to show us if it's the right path or the wrong path? Think with me. You don't have to say it out loud, but think along. What would be some of the ways when we ask God, show me if this is the right path. Lord, I've got this decision. I don't know which way to go. How would God answer that prayer? What do you think? A lot of different ways. One of the ways, if you think back to the story, was these promises of God that pulled them back in and fellowship with the Lord. So it's that regular read your Bible, pray every day type of fellowship with the Lord. I think that's probably the magic sauce that helps us make wise decisions. The other thing I think would be neat, if you were a pilgrim and we could put ourselves back in that day, would be to have a drone, okay, with a camera on it. Right, he launches his drone. The drone flies up in the air. It looks down, it shows them where they're at in the woods, and then they see the path and they see the celestial city. That'd be pretty helpful, wouldn't it? I think a drone would be pretty nice. No, but what are we getting when we get altitude with a drone, or if we're up on top of a hill and we're trying to find out which path to take? What are we getting? What's that? We're getting the big picture, exactly. That's perspective. We now see this bigger picture. Where do we get that? Well, we get that from the Word of God, right? We get that 30,000-foot view. Have you ever heard people say the 30,000-foot view? They mean everything looks so different from the air. You think you know what's ahead of you, or you think you know what's coming and what challenges, but the fact is our sight is very limited, and our scope of knowledge is much more limited than we know. But, oh, if you get up to that 30,000-foot view and you see, oh, that's why, and that's how, and that's when, and everything starts to make some sense. And so a lot of that comes from experience. So a lot of that comes from getting an experienced traveler, somebody that's been to a decision like the decision you're facing, and they say, you know what, I went through that same decision. I had a very similar thing. Let me tell you about how the Lord dealt with me. And actually, I went down the wrong path. I actually chose the easy way and listened to the stories of how God had to get me out of the trouble I had gotten myself into. So perspective sometimes comes from experience, sometimes comes from wisdom of someone who's walked that same path and that has the perspective. So often God will answer our prayer to teach me our way. He'll show us through his word. He'll show us through his community that he's planted us in. Lord puts us in families. He's given us the gift of everyone has someone that they can lean on and ask. So you've got to ask yourself, who are the people in my life that I'm listening to? Are they people that have perspective? Are they people that walk down this path? Sure don't want to be asking the questions of vainglory, right? They had an advisor, right? Christian and Hope had someone in their path, and they assured them, oh, this is the right way. And they were wrong. So you want to be sure you're following the right advice. All right? But let's keep going in this verse. So teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. So this one, this kind of puzzled me for a minute. I thought, well, I'm thinking of my life. I don't really think of having enemies. Right? I don't think I have a lot of enemies. And then I started thinking a little more about it. I thought, well, really? Work with me here. If you don't have any enemies, that probably means you don't have enough love. Well, what do I mean by that? If you love something a whole lot, and there's something threatening that thing you love, If you have a lot of love, then you will have an enemy as it threatens the thing you love. And so often if I'm saying I don't really have any enemies, that probably means my love for something is not enough to where I am willing to defend it. I'm willing to stand against something that's threatening that thing. And so I think the prayer that God would lead us in a plain path and he would pull us toward the celestial city because of our enemies, that means we are in so locked on to our love for the Lord and our love for his kingdom that things that are going to detract and things, people or places or events or things that would pull us away, they become really distasteful to us, right? It's not, we don't just say, well, okay, I guess that so-and-so is trying to pull me off the track. I guess they're really trying to lead me to a pit, to my death, but it's no big deal, right? They become, hey, I can't stand that. No, those pictures or those people that are trying to entice me to go with them to a place I don't need to be, that's disgusting. I do not want any part of that, right? And it becomes an enemy instead of just being, it's something I'll choose to not do. Does that make sense? If you have a lot of love for something and someone's trying to take that away or someone's trying to sabotage, the more you love it, the more energy you'll have when someone's trying to hurt it. So I thought that was helpful. So he says, lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. It was very clear, the love he had for the Lord. And so I just, the last thought we'll share is on kind of the camp clay, okay? So when you're walking down a path here and the water's kind of cut a rut through the path, you know what I'm talking about? Like down the hill, the water will like cut a pretty deep rut through the path that you're trying to take. Clay, when it's really wet, it's kind of like wet cement. Did y'all notice that after it rained, the day after it rained, and you're kind of walking in the rocks? Did anybody have that same thought? I feel like I'm walking in wet cement, because you'd step on the rocks and it'd kind of sag some and sag a little bit more. And the tracks that cars were making were very soft. And the next car would come, there'd be a new track. But then, of course, after the sun had baked that clay for a day or two, now you go out there and you try to just change the rut or to make a new rut. I mean, it takes a lot of energy now to make a new rut out of dry clay. And that's the other concept I wanted to mention is two concepts. So one is how the path, like in Christian's story, ran parallel for a long time. I think that often is the case in life where decisions that seem really small, and it seems like, well, I know my motives aren't exactly right. I mean, I know this is not an ideal situation, but it is a compromise, but it's a little one, right? In our life, you know how this is, right? There's the right thing, and we know the right thing, and God's already told us his path, but we think, well, I can make this one exception. It can seem very subtle, and it's just a couple degrees off course, right? But then you go out 10 years, and it's just way out in left field. So often, especially when we're young, I think because we've got all those years ahead of us, it may just seem just like, your advisor, your mentor, your counselor saying, hey, I see an area in your life. I think you're making a compromise here. I think you're making a bad choice here. It seems, it's so subtle, right? It's just like 2 degrees off course. I mean, how important could this be? But they're thinking maybe, and certainly the Word of God gives us that 30,000-foot view, and they see, wow, even 2 degrees off course, amplified over 40 years, I mean, you're not even in the same zip code. Right, follow me? So, and that's where I think these ruts could be, right? So say you're riding down a road, and there's a rut, and you think, you know what, instead of having to bounce over this rut, let me just follow the rut, right? You know, the water's kind of carved a path down the path. And you think, well, I'll just hop down in the path, all right? And I'll just follow the path, maybe with my bicycle or something, right? You follow me? You can do okay for a period of time, right? That rut will probably stay on the road for just a little bit, but then what happens? It's really hard to get out of that rut. And next thing you know, you are in the ditch and you're on your hands and knees trying to figure out what went wrong, right? So that's the way I think I want to encourage us. This plain path the Lord has promised to lead his children in, when we follow, he'll lead us in this path. It may not be easy. It's plainly hard, right? There's plainly some ruts that I have to jump over, but it's on course, and so I can trust the path, and I may not be able to see around the corner and know how God's going to answer this thorny question I have, but I know if I just do the next right thing, and I say, okay, it's not going to be easy, but I'm going to do the next right thing, and then I'm going to do the next right thing after that, I can trust the path, I can trust that plain path and know God's providence and God's wisdom. He's going to lead me. And then I can make this right choice. And I don't necessarily know three choices down the road what that'll look like, but I can trust him. So last but not least is thinking about being pulled along a path versus being pushed along a path. So as we go, he says, lead me in a path, right? Elder Zach has taught over the years, and I've loved this concept, that the Lord leads his children like sheep. You lead the sheep. The sheep follow their shepherd. Usually it's not the other way around. Usually the shepherd's not trying to drive his sheep along, because, you know, you'd get this sheep in line and this one would be going away. So usually the sheep are following, and that's the way we're like sheep. So we need to follow our shepherd. So which would be better, to be led or to be pulled along a pathway or to be pushed? Well, what do I mean by that? Well, path is hard. And so if you're being pushed along the path, it's kind of be frustrating. You can do it for a while. Drive yourself. Say, okay, I know it's the right thing to do. I don't want to do it, but it's the right thing to do. I can do this, right? And grit your teeth and do it. Eventually, you're going to get tired. Eventually, you're going to say, you know, I'm just worn out of following this path that I don't really want to be on. And you'll just kind of take the easy route then. As opposed to if there's something at the end of that path that you are passionately in love with, right? You love that. And you want that so much, right? Then those bumps in the road, they're still hard, but they're just not quite as hard. You have that energy and that endurance to keep crossing over the ruts and keep, you know, going over the rocky terrain because of that surpassing love for whatever's guiding you. And so that's why I just want to encourage us. So as we pray to the Lord to lead us in a plain path, I just want to encourage you and me to confess whenever it's not love that's pulling us along the path. When we say, you know, I just want to follow the path because I know it's the right thing to do, we definitely want to do that. But also we need to confess and say, Lord, my love is too weak. My love, that's pulling me towards you, that's pulling me down this hard path, pulling me into the right decisions, it's pulling me these ways. Lord, I confess my love is too weak. Please give me more love. Please fill me with love, that I would just be drawn to you. And those little bumps in the road would seem like little. Lord, help me to see the world from that 30,000-foot view. Help me to rise up like a drone and see and then be drawn into your path and not just make the right decision because I was told it'd be foolish to make the wrong one. So how is it with us? Are we trying to take the easier path? Are we making compromises that are just a couple degrees off course, but over time will be pulling us away? Are we listening to those in our lives that love us, that know the Lord, that are walking with the Lord, that can call to us from down the same hard path and say, hey, it's just that decision you're facing, it's a hard one. I did the same thing, but come on over that. Make the right decision. It's going to be worth it, right? And then the question is, we're on the path. So think about where you're on the path and then realize, look behind you. There are some people behind you. You may not even realize that. And they're watching you, and it helps them if they can follow you. And so you want to be making good decisions and pull them along. Turn around on somebody that's a little bit younger or somebody that's going through the same decision and say, hey, I faced that decision too. Let me tell you my story. And so that's what we try to do at camp, right? We try to tell each other stories. We have counselors, we have mentors, and we try to tell each other stories of how the Lord has dealt with us and to encourage each other in the Lord. Say, hey, that's a hard spot you're in. Let me help you out. Let me help you with that decision. Well, I hope Psalm 27:11 means a little bit more to you now after a few minutes of thinking through it. And I certainly have just had a blast. Thank you so much for such a wonderful camp this year.